Welcome to Noracast Tech Briefing. Today is Friday, July 31st, 2026.
We've got a really thought-provoking lineup today. We're looking at a major update from DeepSeek that completely challenges the idea that bigger is always better, and a fascinating philosophical piece on who really owns your AI context window.
It feels like the industry is hitting a very interesting inflection point this week. For the last couple of years, the narrative has just been scale, scale, scale. More parameters, more compute, more data. But now, efficiency and data ownership are starting to outshine pure parameter counts.
It's the inevitable maturation phase of any transformative technology. Once the initial shock and awe of a new capability wears off, people start asking the practical questions. How much does this actually cost to run at scale? And if I build my entire enterprise workflow around this specific API, can I take my data with me if I decide to leave?
And speaking of leaving the old paradigms behind, let's jump right into our first deep dive. DeepSeek just moved their V4 Flash API from preview into public beta with what they're calling the 0731 update.
And the big story here isn't a new architecture or some massive leap in parameter count. It is still the exact same 284 billion parameter mixture of experts model they were running before. All the performance gains they are reporting today come entirely from post-training optimization.
Right. They basically went back into the lab, didn't touch the immensely expensive base pre-training phase, and just figured out how to squeeze significantly more agentic performance out of the existing weights.
And the performance jump is not trivial. They hit an 82.7 on Terminal Bench 2.1 and a 68.7 on DS Bench Full Stack. For those who might not track every benchmark, those are heavy, multi-step agentic coding tests.
Right. And it's important to distinguish these from older benchmarks like Human Eval, which just ask the model to write a single Python function in a vacuum. Terminal Bench measures how well the model can autonomously navigate a bash environment, run commands, read the error output, and dynamically correct its own mistakes over multiple turns. It is incredibly hard to game those tests.
Exactly. It really challenges the dominant narrative that we always need to scale up the raw parameter count to get better coding agents. DeepSeek is proving that if you refine how the model leverages what it already knows, through better reinforcement learning and alignment, you can get frontier-level utility out of a static foundation.
Plus, because they didn't have to amortize a massive new pre-training run, they kept the pricing incredibly aggressive. It's sitting at 14 cents per million input tokens and 28 cents per million output tokens.
To put that in perspective, that is a fraction of what you'd pay for something like OpenAI's GPT 5.6 Luna, which we just talked about a couple of days ago on the show. And this V4 Flash model still supports a massive 1 million token context window.
They also added native support for the responses API format in this update, along with some specific adaptations for codecs. That makes the drop-in replacement process for developers who are migrating away from other platforms much smoother. You don't have to rewrite your entire middleware stack to format the prompts differently.
But I really want to linger on that post-training aspect because it shifts the entire economic landscape. For a long time, the prevailing wisdom in Silicon Valley was that you hit a capability wall, and the only way over it was 10 times the compute and a trillion more tokens of pre-training data.
Which is an incredibly expensive philosophy that locks out almost everyone except the top three tech giants. DeepSeek is showing that fine-tuning, synthetic data generation, and highly targeted reinforcement learning can unlock latent capabilities that were just sitting there dormant in those 284 billion parameters.
Exactly. It changes the calculus for companies building AI agents. If you can get an 82 on Terminal Bench without spinning up a massive new GPU cluster for 6 months, the barrier to entry for building highly capable, reliable agents drops significantly.
And it forces the established players to justify their massive API premiums. If developers can get this level of autonomous coding performance at 14 cents a million tokens, the big proprietary models have to offer something truly differentiated. They can't just coast on slight benchmark bumps anymore.
It also highlights the sheer efficiency of the mixture of experts architecture. While it has 284 billion total parameters, it's only using about 13 billion active parameters during inference. That's how they keep the latency low and the compute costs down, while still having a vast repository of knowledge to draw from.
It'll be fascinating to see how the open source and frontier model communities react to this. DeepSeek has always been aggressive on pricing, but this 0731 update feels like a direct shot across the bow, proving that the post-training phase is where the real alpha is right now.
Our next story pivots from the sheer cost of running these models to how they actually store and manage our interactions. There's a brilliant piece published by Erindale Engineering titled "The Session You Cannot Take With You."
This is one of those articles that perfectly articulates a frustration I think a lot of developers have been feeling lately, but haven't quite put into words. It's about the rapid loss of session portability in the age of complex AI agents.
Exactly. The author makes a compelling argument that as AI APIs have become more advanced and capable, they've also become much more opaque. We're seeing models increasingly rely on provider-bound state, things like encrypted reasoning blobs, hidden search results, and proprietary context compaction.
Think back to the early days of LLMs, which wasn't even that long ago. A conversation was just a raw text array. You sent a prompt, you got a response. If you wanted to switch your application from Anthropic to OpenAI, you literally just copied the JSON array of the text history over. The state was entirely in the open.
But now, with agentic workflows, the model is doing a massive amount of invisible work behind the scenes. It's caching context in proprietary KV formats to save money, it's doing chain-of-thought reasoning that isn't exposed to the API user, and it's maintaining internal state about the tools it has called.
Which means if you are halfway through a complex coding task or a massive data extraction job, and you want to move that session to a different provider, maybe because you hit a rate limit or you want to hand the task off to a cheaper, smaller model, you simply can't. The session is inextricably locked into that specific provider's ecosystem.
Erindale Engineering defines a true portable session as an exportable transcript that contains all the instructions, the messages, the tool calls, and the raw results in a standardized format. The idea is that any sufficiently capable model should be able to read that transcript, understand the state of the world, and pick up exactly where the last model left off.
But the harsh reality is that API providers have a massive financial disincentive to build that. Vendor lock-in is highly profitable. If your complex agentic state is trapped in their proprietary context cache, you are not going to leave. You'll just keep paying their API costs to finish the job.
There's also a technical argument here. Some of this opacity is arguably necessary for performance and safety. Context caching, for instance, relies on the specific mathematical architecture of the model. You can't just export a KV cache from DeepSeek and load it into Claude. It's physically incompatible.
That's true, but the author is talking about exporting the logical state, not the literal memory state of the neural network. We need a readable transcript of what the agent actually did and saw. Right now, a lot of that is hidden behind so-called reasoning APIs, where you just get the final answer and the internal monologue is deliberately encrypted or discarded.
Providers often claim they hide the reasoning to prevent competitors from distilling their models, or to prevent users from seeing unsafe thoughts. But it raises a massive question about data ownership. If you are paying for the API calls, shouldn't you own the full, unredacted transcript of how the AI arrived at its conclusion? Especially for enterprise use cases, where auditability is non-negotiable. If an autonomous AI agent makes a change to a production code base or denies a loan application, you need to know exactly what search results it looked at and what its internal logic was. If that information is an encrypted blob sitting on a provider's server that you can't access, that is a massive compliance nightmare.
It really highlights the fundamental difference between cloud APIs and open-weight models. If you run a model locally on your own silicon, you naturally have access to all the state. You can inspect the KV cache. You can see every token generated.
Exactly. The push for portable sessions is really a push to force cloud APIs to behave more like local infrastructure. We saw this exact same lock-in playbook during the Web 2.0 era with social graphs and user data. Now the tech giants are just repeating it with AI context windows and agentic state.
Do you think we'll see industry-wide standards emerge for portable inference, like a universal JSON schema for agentic state?
I think the open source community will absolutely push for it. We're already seeing middleware tools try to abstract away the provider layer and maintain state locally. But the big frontier players will drag their feet as long as they possibly can. The competitive advantage of holding that proprietary state is just too strong right now to give up willingly.
All right, that is a lot to chew on regarding the future of AI infrastructure and data ownership. Let's shift gears and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got some interesting analytical follow-ups on DeepSeek, a couple of highly specific feature requests from the Claude Code community, and a look at the surprisingly complex world of elevator algorithms.
Let's dive right in.
Following up directly on our first deep dive, Artificial Analysis just published their deep dive breakdown of the DeepSeek V4 Flash 0731 update.
And the numbers completely back up the hype we were just discussing. The updated model hit a score of 50 on the Artificial Analysis Intelligence Index. That is a solid 10-point jump from the previous version they released back in April.
What's wild is the economic breakdown. Thanks to DeepSeek's aggressive pricing and a massive 98% cash discount, Artificial Analysis calculates that this model offers a 60% lower cost per task compared to OpenAI's GPT 5.6 Luna.
It really cements DeepSeek's current strategy. They are laser-focused on high-throughput, agentic workflows where cost is the primary bottleneck for developers, and they are achieving frontier-like utility with a fraction of the active parameters.
Over on GitHub, there's a highly requested feature for Claude Code, specifically issue 82954, asking for detailed token usage audit reports.
This ties perfectly into what we were just talking about regarding opaque AI state. Users on Pro and Team plans have strict 5-hour and weekly token limits, and right now, the built-in commands only show basic session-level statistics.
Right. The user specifically noted major issues with token leaks. When they copy a skill from one agent to another, the background context can balloon invisibly, and suddenly that new agent burns through the 5-hour usage cap in minutes.
When you have autonomous CLI agents reading entire directories and running repetitive tool calls, a runaway agent is a real financial hazard. The community desperately needs better, more granular guardrails to track exactly where those tokens are going.
Right now, when Claude Code hits a terminal environment that can't properly render complex markdown tables, it defaults to flattening them into a header value list, and users are finding that format incredibly hard to read and parse. This actually revives a stale issue from July that an automated bot closed without any human review, which is a classic open source frustration. It highlights the ongoing friction of rendering machine-readable AI output in legacy terminal environments.
It might seem like a small UI nitpick, but when you spend 8 hours a day staring at a terminal, those formatting choices dictate your developer velocity.
Finally, a fun piece from John.Fun, simply titled Elevators, diving into the algorithms that control how we move through high-rises. It traces the history from the original 1961 scan algorithm, where the elevator car just goes to the highest requested floor before reversing, to the slightly smarter look algorithm, which reverses as soon as the highest requested floor is reached.
It also touches on modern destination dispatch systems, where you punch in your floor before you even get in the elevator. It groups passengers going to the same floor, which saves massive amounts of energy, but often feels unintuitive to the user.
It's a great reminder that algorithmic optimization isn't just for software. Balancing individual wait times against overall building efficiency is a classic constraint problem. In a lot of ways, an elevator dispatch system is basically just a massive physical load balancer. It's the exact same routing logic we use to manage server requests in cloud architecture, just applied to steel boxes and human beings.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of Noracast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more deep dives and updates from the edge of the tech industry.
Until then, keep an eye on your token counts, make sure you own your session data, and we'll see you next time.